All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll begin our study. Father, we come to you this evening thankful that, Lord, we are able to gather together, that we are able to study together, that we're able to fellowship with one another. Father, in this local body of believers, we thank you for what you have done in our lives and in our hearts. Father, as you have worked and drawn and regenerated us, Father, and we just thank you for this new life that we have in Christ. Father, we do come tonight and we lift up those that we've mentioned. We Lord, just think about the David Cardwell family as he is, Lord, been killed in this accident, Father. And we do think about Lord Gordon's nieces and those others in the family. Father, we pray that you would bring them peace. Father, we pray that you would bring them comfort during this time as only you can. Father, we do pray tonight for Melita as she goes to have the procedure on her eye, and we pray that you would be with the doctors and those that are performing that, and that, Father, it would be used to heal the things that she has going on with the pressure and other things in her eyes. And, Father, we tonight we do lift up Christy, Father, as she's going in for surgery. Again, we pray that you would be with the doctors, the surgeons, and those that will be operating on her, Father, and we pray for her and pray that you would heal her body. And Father, now we pray that as we open up your word and we begin to look at it, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would help us to understand with our minds, and Father, that our hearts would be changed through what we learn. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so tonight we again are talking about the parables, and so tonight turn with me to Luke chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Again, we're in this study written by Pastor John MacArthur. The last 2 weeks we have kind of given an introduction to this and talked about some different things related to the parables. And tonight we're going to actually dive in to the first parable we're going to look at, in the parable of the sower and the soils. And we're going to learn a lesson tonight about receiving the word. Lesson about receiving the word. So we're going to start here with reading the parable itself. And it's found in here in verses 5 through 8 of Luke 8. And here we're going to find a surprisingly simple story. So we read in verse 5 here, Jesus says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And so this story that Jesus tells, this illustration that he gives, this parable that he goes into, would be a very completely normal, everyday, common thing in their context that they're talking about. Sowing seed and reaping the harvest and all of that kind of stuff was a very common thing. I think for most of us, it might not be as common, right? Like, I go to the grocery store and buy my produce. I don't sow it and grow it and do all that. We're going to try to change that this year. We're branching into container gardening. And so we'll see how that goes. But I do remember, like, as a little boy, I remember grandparents having a garden. And I remember going over there and like snapping the ends off of the snap beans, also known as green beans, and shelling butter beans, also known as lima beans. Remember when Stacy and I were first dating and she talked about lima beans? What is that? Butter bean. Oh, okay. Now I got you. So, and we would do that, and you know, all the time when we were watching Hee Haw, good times. But, and so I have some of those memories, but as far as sowing and gardening and all that kind of, not an everyday thing for me in my context, but it was for those in Jesus' context. And so, as Jesus talked about this, he identifies four different types of soil. Four different types. And we'll walk through and talk about each of these a little bit. The first type that we see in verse 5 is that of the path. Is how it's translated in the ESV. In other versions, it's called the wayside. And what this is referring to is, you know, a footpath. It's a place where people would walk that would run alongside of the fields and at the end of the field so that they could walk around and go where they needed to. So, you can imagine as the sower has a container with him and he's walking around and he's sowing seed, you know, when he gets to the far side or especially like up in a corner or something and he's throwing it out, some of it's going to go too far past the land that has been cultivated, and it's going to land on this footpath. And we see that the seed that lands there is not going to have a chance to germinate, right? Because either people are going to walk through and crush it and ruin it, or it's going to be carried away and eaten by birds. So that there's no fruit and there's no harvest that comes from these seeds. The second type of soil that's mentioned there is the rock that we see in verse 6. And so this is actually, it's not talking about like a you know, gravel pit or anything like that. What we see here is this rock bed that's actually hidden underneath the surface of the field. And it's hidden under good soil. So, as a general rule here, a plow would go like 8 to 10 inches below the surface of the ground. And so, if you had a rock bed that was a foot underneath the surface, you wouldn't know it was there until you sowed the seed and you saw them spring up and then wither away. And so, it's this rock bed that's hidden underneath this good soil. And so that's what's being referred to in the verse. And so what happens is the plant germinates, it springs up, but it can't, the roots can't penetrate deep down. And so this thin layer of soil that's on top of the rock, it can't supply the plant with enough moisture to sustain it. And so the plant quickly withers away. The third type of soil in this parable is that which is infested with thorns and weeds. And we all know, right, thorns and weeds can grow better and faster than anything else you're trying to grow. I remember my dad used to be big into keeping his yard looking good. You know, it's a place of pride. He enjoyed being out and working in it, so... But it meant it's like a constant battle, right? Every year he fought dandelions and crabgrass and clover and all kinds of other stuff that can take over. It grows anywhere and everywhere. But this is part of the curse. Back in Genesis 3, and God said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you." That's exactly what happens with weeds. They suck up the moisture. They drain out nutrients. They block sunlight of the good crop, and therefore they choke it out, and it can't grow. It's not allowed to grow. And then finally, we see this good soil in verse 8. This is like the ideal situation in which to plant. See that this soil has been prepared for the seed. And the plants that are planted here, they develop these deep roots. And they yield much fruit. And so in these verses 5 to 8, this is the parable that Jesus tells. Now, as we're going through and we're looking at this, there is one point here that's important to notice. And that is that the lesson here is all about the soil. All about the soil. Now, there are many variables in this that are not mentioned. Right? Nothing said about the sower. Nothing is said about his experience or his skill level. There's nothing said about the quality of the seed. Nothing is said about the weather. Nothing is said about the tools used to dig in the ground. Right? There's a lot of details that are left out because they're irrelevant to the meaning of the parable. Right? The parable is all about the different types of soil. And so that is what we want to kind of hone in on in hone in on and pay attention to. So in the next section of the verses here, we're going to see Jesus talk about those who hear his parable. So look with me in verses 9 and 10. It says, "And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.'" And so here Jesus uses a word that I think we need to define and to talk about. He uses the word secrets in verse 10. Or in many translations, it is mysteries. The word mystery. And so in the New Testament, when this word is used, it refers to here a spiritual truth that was veiled or was hidden or was obscured in the old covenant, but has now been fully revealed in the new. So a lot of these things that the Old Testament kept hidden in things like typology and in symbolism and in prophetic hints are now made plain and clear. They were hidden, they were veiled, and now in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, they are made clear. One example of this we see in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, where Paul writes, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So this idea of the inclusion of the Gentiles into God's people. So we have some hints of it in the Old Testament. We can remember that God told Abraham that all of the nations of the world would be blessed through him. The prophet Jonah was sent to preach repentance to a pagan Gentile nation. Okay. But then we get to the book of Acts, right, where it's made very clear that these Gentiles will be part of God's people. And here in Ephesians, this truth is made plain and clear. So this is the type of truth that's been given to the disciples to clearly understand. And there are a couple of points here that John MacArthur makes that I think we should take note of. First of all, he writes this. The disciples understood the truths Jesus was teaching, not by some special clairvoyance or preternatural ability. Preter meaning, you know, beyond or more than natural ability. Had to look that up. I don't know who uses the word preternatural. So it's beyond more than natural ability. So it's nothing special in themselves that led to this understanding, but because they had enough interest to ask Jesus for an interpretation. And we see this in verse 9. They come to Jesus and they ask him the meaning of the parable. On the other hand, MacArthur also writes this. Although Jesus was presenting the parables in a way that would obscure the truth from unbelieving ears, no one was excluded against his or her will. Anyone who truly wanted to understand could have asked. So we see here, those who did not believe and did not ask for the interpretation are totally and completely responsible for their unbelief and for their hardness of heart. We're going to see this more a little bit later in some Old Testament examples of Zedekiah and Rehoboam who stiffened their necks and hardened their hearts against the Lord. So here the disciples understood because they asked for an interpretation. Those who are not interested enough to ask then are held responsible for their unbelief and their lack of understanding. So it's very important to keep in mind as we continue to walk through these verses. So we have seen that this is a surprisingly simple story here in verses 5 through 8. We've seen Jesus' words to take heed in how you hear in verses 9 and 10. That then leads us to this third section of the explanation of the parable. And we find this in verses 11 through 15. And so there we read this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And so here there are three elements here of the parable that we want to draw out and we want to talk about in order to understand the meaning and what's going on here. First of all, it's the seed. The seed in the parable represents the Word of God. The seed represents the Word of God. We see that's explicitly stated here in verse 11. The Word of God. Another element in the parable is the sower, the one who is sowing the seed. Now, interesting enough, the sower is not identified in this parable. Not identified. Now, many people will actually come and they will identify the sower here as Jesus himself. And this brings up a really good point that we need to mention. And there's a reason that they do that. And that's because that when you go and you look at Matthew's account of this parable in Matthew chapter 13, you'll see that in verses 18 through 23, we have the parable of the sower, the same one that we find here in Luke 8. Then immediately following that, in verses 24 to 30, we have the parable of the tares. And in the parable of the tares, the sower is Christ. So then some would look at that and say, well, if he's the sower in one of the parables, then he must be the sower in the other parable. But we don't want to do that. Okay, that's bad hermeneutics. That's not the way that we want to interpret the scripture. We can't go in and start mixing and matching all these different elements and what they represent into these different parables. Each parable is independent in itself, and it has to be read and understood and interpreted that way. I mean, we can see here on the slide, granted, these two parables have a lot of similar elements in them. However, those elements represent different realities. And they're being used to make a different point. So as we continue to go through looking at parables, and as you read these parables on your own, just be aware of this principle. We don't want to go mixing and matching and shuffling things around and assigning identities to different things across parables. But instead, we want to deal with each parable on its own. So, we have seen that the seed is the Word of God. The sower is not identified because it's not important to the point that Jesus is making in the parable. And lastly, we see here that the soil in this parable represents the human heart. And the different types of soils represent the human heart in various stages of receptivity to the Word of God. Different levels of receiving the Word. And so this is the point of the parable, the lesson that we learn from this parable. A person's response to the Word of God is dependent on the condition of that person's heart. The way they receive it has to do with the condition of their heart. Furthermore, we learn that fruit is the only evidence that one has heard the word rightly. So as we said earlier, the focus of this parable is on the different types of soil and how they receive the seed that is cast on them. And so that's what we want to focus in on as we continue to look at this. And so next time, we're going to come back and we're going to continue to walk through this parable. And we're going to talk more about these different types of souls that we see. We're going to talk about the hearers of the truth of the Word of God and the hearts that they represent. And what we learn about them from different places in Scripture. So we'll do that next time when we come together. So let's close tonight in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this study. Father, we do pray that we would come to these parables, as we've talked about before, with humility. Lord, with hearts that seek to know the truth and seek to understand. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you would give us understanding. And also, Lord, that we would be able to make application to our own hearts from the truth that we hear. And so we pray this in Jesus' name.